Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. One of the truly bright spots in any college experience is the chance students get to step outside their ordinary lives and make a difference as volunteers. March is Disability Awareness Month, and some Ball State students are volunteering this semester with something called the PRISM Project. PRISM provides special needs kids with opportunities to learn social skills through performing arts and by working with others. The project was founded in 2009 by Michael Dane and Ryan Horrigan through an immersive learning grant. On one recent Saturday, as the Ball State volunteers worked with their young performers in a music room, we talked with Ryan Horrigan about the difference that dance, music, and theater can make.
What I can tell you is that kids on the autism spectrum or with disabilities often are able to, you know, relate to people socially through the arts. We also know that kids with autism especially have aptitude in music, and they're able to do things in music that they may not be able to do in other subject areas. And I can tell you with my own son, Andrew, I was able to communicate back and forth with him through music probably way before he was able to talk to me. And but you know, I'm a musician, you know, so obviously that's gonna be in my house. And my older son, Joshua, I don't know what he would do without his music. His whole bedroom is a big percussion studio and he plays every day. But, you know, school band or school orchestra really hasn't worked out for him because he just can't handle all of the kids and all of the noise and the way that the routine goes with that. But he has a place here at PRISM. And I think a lot of parents would be able to say the same thing, that, you know, they don't have an arts outlet, you know, but they do here, and they're able to hear their kids sing and dance at home. And a lot of times they'll come back and say, you know, and hum a tune for us and say, can you tell us what this is? And we could say, oh yeah, we're working on that. You're gonna see it at the show, you know. I think self-confidence has a lot to do with and learning how to work with peers. So we went one step further this year, and the kids that are getting older, the 16, 17, 18 year olds that have disabilities, now we're training them to be mentors with the younger kids. And what we're trying to teach them is, you know, compassion, you know, leadership. And it's interesting when you teach them, okay, about like, you know, redirecting someone to pay attention when they're learning something, then they learn that, reinforces that with them as well, to say this is what you need to be doing when you're trying to learn. We consider PRISM to be a model for what we would hope to happen in an arts classroom in the public school. So we put all of the components in that we feel like, and then we did some research on that to show the how effective it is. And so I don't know how many people read, you know, the research that we do, you know, but we'd like to be able to say to arts teachers, look, if you're looking for research that shows that you need a one-on-one aid in your arts classroom, or you need special education support in your arts classroom, we've shown in this research that it improves learning with kids with disabilities.
Are there benefits as well? Do you learn things about teaching arts to everybody through this?
Absolutely. I think that a lot of classrooms in public school are what we call included classrooms, where you may have a kid or two with disabilities and other kids without disabilities. And I think what we teach here is how to make that into one big learning community, and that teachers don't necessarily have to own all of the teaching and learning, that the teaching and learning can happen amongst everybody if you set up the right climate in your classroom. And so even if a lot of the Ball State buddies that come to us are non-arts majors. We get psychology majors, speech path majors, elementary ed, special ed, and I think what they're learning is that learning can happen in a community, arts can facilitate that, and that kids that have disabilities relate really well to the arts, and it might help with other things that you're working on. I call that arts integration. which leads me to the Kennedy Center. I'm a national workshop leader on their speakers bureau for the John F. Kennedy Center. So like, for example, I'm going to a Kennedy Center partner organization, and we talk about these things, about how arts can be integrated into any subject matter, especially with kids with disabilities. And then what I typically do is I'll take a video from PRISM and I'll say, okay, you know, this is how this works. You need to have this, that, and the other together for this to work. And then here's what it looks like with real kids in a real setting. And sometimes I have to miss PRISM, but usually when I'm missing PRISM, I'm talking to another group. What's happened as a result of that is there are two other fully loaded PRISM projects going on at other places. There's one in New Orleans that we started as another immersive learning project back in 2012, and they're in their fourth year. And there's one at the University of Northern Iowa, and both of those are modeled after our program. And we have another couple of sites that have inquired about it, and so it's growing. It has a footprint now, so we're very proud of that.
This is a happy day. I mean, this is...
Oh, yeah. The kids love it. You should see the smile on their face. We have kids that... it's funny, the parents will tell us that, Kobe, one of the kids that we have here, he gets up, he makes his lunch every morning, he gets his parents up at like 9 a.m. and said, okay, it's time to go to PRISM. And, you know, we don't start until 1, you know, like he's ready to go now. So, you'll see when you guys bring the camera around, the smiles on their faces, the things that they're doing are great. We try to do some things that would be age appropriate for them, some popular music, some things that maybe they would do with their peers. So then when they leave here, maybe when they go into their school setting, they feel a little bit more comfortable.
I have to think your performers must love this.
These
kids must
really do. They're we have to, one of the things that we have to deal with that shows you how much they really love it, is usually the performance, especially the last performance, ends up being a really sad day for them. And they really miss the buddy that they've hooked up with from Ball State. They really miss the weekly routine of coming here and doing arts programming. And if I could run it every Saturday throughout the entire year, I would. It's just exhausting to get all this together. But I think that really is a testament of not only, you know, the experience they're having, but, you know, how much it really means to them.
Ryan Horrigan, founder with Michael Dane of the PRISM Project, which helps children with disabilities grow their confidence and social skills through the performing arts. Up next, a couple of the student volunteers talking about the joy of this work.
Indiana Weekend, interesting people and places from across our region. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
The Sound of Music, heard regularly in the School of Music at Ball State. But on this Saturday, something different. Special needs children learning music, theater, and dance with Ball State students. We talked with two of the volunteers, starting with Claire Roy, a graduate student in speech pathology.
I took some undergrad classes in special education, and I heard about the show through that, and I went to the show when I was a freshman, and then I decided the next spring that's something I definitely wanted to be a part of.
What was it like when you first started doing this?
It was a little overwhelming at first, but once I came to the first practice and saw like what it actually involved, it was really cool and something that I knew I wanted to continue doing through my time at Ball State.
What do you get out of this?
It just makes me feel happy to see these kids get to participate in something that maybe they normally wouldn't get to participate in at their normal school. It gives them a place to express themselves and to be themselves is like the biggest thing that I love about it.
There must be some kind of special moments in there.
I think the coolest thing that for me is to see kids go by themselves up in front of the group and do something. That's like the coolest thing because they are super shy sometimes or super like not wanting to participate. And as soon as you give them a chance to go up in front of the group and sing a song or do even just the smallest thing, like clap your hands in front of the group, and everyone just gets so excited for it. And to then in turn see that kid get excited is just a really cool thing. So for example, we make it a party in the yellow group. We like to make everything a party. So if a kid doesn't want to come in the room, as soon as they come in the room, we like cheer and chant and stop whatever we're doing and just have a major party. And then that gets that kid excited to come in and join us.
You've been doing this for 4 years. Mm-hmm. How has it changed you?
It's made me see things in such a different way. I always have loved kids with special needs and disabilities, but getting to like know them on a different level and interact with them on a different level has just made me view everything in a different way. The difficulties they go through on a day-to-day basis is stuff that I wouldn't normally think of, and this has just made me consider all of that.
It sounds like it's kind of changed you. I mean, your own sort of outlook. I mean, are you happier when you're doing this?
Yes. I love coming to Prism, and it's something I look forward to. There hasn't been a ton of stuff at Ball State that I've found that I want to continue doing over and over again, but Prism Project is just something that I love doing. So,
are you headed toward, when you finish graduate school and everything, what is it that you'll be doing, and how has your experience here affected that?
As a speech pathologist, I could work in many different settings. I could work in a school or a hospital, but I know that I would love to work with kids, and I know that I might even want to work with kids with special needs.
And as you look around at the other Ball State students that you're with and the people who are buddies in the program, how does it change them?
Everyone here is like so awesome. I think it takes a special kind of person to like get excited for things that may not seem exciting to some people, but like when we're here, like we're all about the kids, like we're all about having fun, getting them to participate. And it's hard not to have fun when you're here because the kids are having so much fun and they're so into it. Even just the littlest thing, like saying hi to you, they get this biggest smile on their face, and it's like hard to not make you feel good about like yourself because they all love you so much, and you just leave here with like that feeling that like you're an important person in their life.
I'm Emily Folland. I am from Cherubusco, Indiana. I am here as an elementary and special education major, and I am the dance director for the Prism Project.
Tell us about how that works.
Okay, so basically I work with three different groups, and I create dances with another director that I work with, and we help teach them the dances, we stretch with them, we warm up, and they basically just get to act out the moves and do what it is they love to do, what we show them, and then we work towards the performance at the end of the semester.
You really like doing this.
I love it. It's been a really great experience getting to know each of the students and learning what it is they love to do, what their strengths are, and what we can incorporate, what it is they love and what their strengths are in the performance.
So there's a connection between what you study in school and this. And tell me about how one thing helps the other.
It's interesting when you're learning in the classroom and gaining that knowledge about working with students, but it's a whole another ballpark when you're actually experiencing that with students and learning too, because a lot of the things that I learn in the class is about differentiated instruction. And here, I work with a lot of students who have different abilities and different strengths, and I'm able to incorporate that and recognize what one student may be really strong at is something that a student may need extra help with. So I'm able to pinpoint different things through the dances in order to incorporate all students and performers so that they can really shine on stage. That's the main goal for this.
Special ed isn't for everybody. Why do you like it?
I like it because each student is able to teach me something new. I really like the individualized instruction with the students and getting to know what their passions are. That's able to show through the Prism Project because they come in here and they are really comfortable with this whole setup.
Have you always wanted to be in this field, just since you're a little kid?
Both of my parents are actually educators, and I went through my years thinking that I wanted to go into education, but I didn't realize that until my senior year of high school when I did cadet teaching, and I was in an elementary special education classroom, and then that's when it really hit for me, and I realized this is what I want to do for the rest of my life.
That's Emily Folland, a Ball State junior majoring in elementary and special education, talking about why she likes working with the special needs students in the PRISM Project. Before Emily, you heard graduate student Claire Roy talking about how they use the performing arts to help build confidence, teamwork, and social skills.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
What would people who don't have much contact with children with these challenges not know?
That children with disabilities are also artists, just like we are. You know, art is inherent to humanity. You know, every human is an artist in some way or consumes the arts. And I feel like that sometimes people underestimate or misjudge people with disabilities and not think that just because they're, or maybe think because they have a disability, they can't be creative. And I argue that they can.
So this year, April 22nd.
April 22nd, we typically, the show will be at 7:30. Doors will open probably 6:45. It'll fill up nicely. We typically start the show with a collage video showing the process of how we get there. And it kind of serves as an overture also for latecomers. There will be a storyline, hasn't been written yet because we do everything sort of organically, and it will follow Indiana, what's good about Indiana. We will have theater, music, and dance segments that somehow are connected to the 200th anniversary celebration. We have a little backup combo band that helps us get through the tunes. Luckily, we have an amazing musician, Jim Reinhart, who is a faculty member in the School of Music, is one of those guys that can play anything. And he's also really good about putting like incidental music in between when there's like an awkward moment, you know, like he's really good at all that stuff. And then afterwards, you know, the kids meet their parents and we have a big, you know, lots of big hugs out in the lobby. And then we pack up and we go on for next year.
What's the effect on the buddies?
One of our student leaders 2 years ago, Will Doublestein is his name. He was a music student and he was one of the music student directors. And really compassionate kid. So, you know, he started out as a buddy and then we made him a student director. He's now teaching in Indiana Public School, I think in Greenfield. I'll figure out the day or the place. And he started his own after school program that's much like PRISM for kids with disabilities. And then he was also asked to present at our state music education conference based on what he was doing in the classroom. And I think it all came from, you know, being around the kids at PRISM and learning sort of the pedagogy, you know, and then deciding that, hey, there's this whole wing of kids in my school that need, you know, music in their classroom. I know what I'm doing. I've been doing it for a while. I'm going to go down and do it. We even have him do a little come be a buddy video to help us recruit buddies, because what he does is he made this little video that says, you know, I started as a buddy. Then I became a music director, and now I'm out in the schools doing this, and it's all because of PRISM. And then we show that video when we're trying to recruit Ball State students to come and work with us.
How did the Ball State students react to this?
It's a very positive experience. We have a lot of kids who come back every year. They volunteer, you know, for 3 hours every Saturday for 10 weeks. We don't pay them. And so I think that that's a testament right there. And we have kids who are in their, you know, fourth year doing it. You know, volunteering every Saturday in the spring. They really get connected with their performer. One of the bigger things that I like about PRISM 2 is we do the performance during Autism Awareness Month. You know, I consider the shows to be an awareness piece too. We let the Interlock folks come and set up a table out in the lobby to talk about the walk that they're gonna have probably the next weekend after that. And so it's a big, you know, autism awareness. Not all of our, I just want to put it out there, not all the kids that are in PRISM have autism, but I would say 70% of them do. We have kids with Down syndrome, we have kids with all kinds of challenges, but autism is probably the most prominent challenge that our kids have.
On another floor of the music building, the youngsters of the PRISM project were learning their parts, preparing for their moment in the spotlight. You can hear the joy of the music, and Ryan Horrigan is already thinking about what it'll be like when they take the stage.
The biggest thing to me that I like to see that really gives me a charge is when we finally get to the performance, and I see them performing independently on stage and, you know, in an art form. I think that, you know, some of these kids are underestimated. It, you know, I even underestimate them. And to see them go out on stage, not run into the audience or not need their buddy so much, and they step out and they do something completely independent by themselves in the arts, that's where I get the biggest probably kick out of PRISM. There's kids that have, you know, that started here that were very shy or didn't have, you know, very much skill in music that we've taught them or in theater or in dance. And to watch them just go out on stage and light up is just a really cool thing to watch. I have a really good time at the performances. And it's interesting because Mike Dean comes and, you know, like, you know, some of the other faculty come and, you know, they're high-end, you know, artists. And, you know, I always worry that they don't see that, you know, this is something that is very difficult for these kids to do. And every time they come afterwards and say, wow, I can't even believe that they could do that, you know, and it's really kind of a neat thing to watch. So,
are you a little sad when the performance happens and the whole thing's over?
I miss the kids a lot. You know, it's you know, we give up every Saturday for semester. It's kind of I'm usually conflicted, you know, like, oh man, I get my Saturdays back. But then, you know, you get a couple of Saturdays back and you're like, oh man, I miss the kids, you know? And I get a kick out of being around them and, you know, there's a different smile, I think, with a kid that has, you know, challenges. You know, when you get that smile, it's a little bit more powerful sometimes. I mean, you know, you can really, there are some kids that can really light up the room.
Ryan Horrigan, who started the PRISM Project with Michael Dane at Ball State as a way of reaching special needs students, helping them build confidence and social skills through music, dance, and theater. They have a show coming up April 22nd for these young performers, and they could use your support. For more details, you can Google them up or get a hold of me, and I'll put you in touch with them. That's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Sean Ashcraft, and all the folks in the front office, including your friends Matt Bloom, Connie Clary, Lori Georgie, Emily Kowalski, Andrea Lutz, John Morgan, Angie Rapp, and Debbie Webb. Glad you could join us this time. Hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from IPR's listeners. We hope you'll join your friends who are IPR members. You can go to indianapublicradio.org or give us a call at 1-800-646-1812. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.